And the HealthyLife.net News at 7 continuing, looking at tips for a sustainable world. And Ellen Moyer is back with us, Ellen Moyer, PhD. And Ellen Moyer doing a great job telling us about, well, a lot of contaminants that we don't know about and great tips to avoid them and look out for them. Ellen, welcome back to the HealthyLife.net News at 7.
Thanks, Jay. It's great to be back. Today I'm going to talk about a synthetic chemical that is widespread in our lives. This is bisphenol A, which is abbreviated BPA. I'll talk what it's about, what is it, where it's found, why we should be concerned about it, and what we can do to reduce our exposure to it. BPA is used to make polycarbonate plastics and epoxy resins. Polycarbonate plastics are used in some water bottles, food storage containers, compact discs, safety equipment, and medical devices. Until 2012, BPA was also used in baby bottles and children's drinking cups. Epoxy resins are used to coat metal products, such as food cans, bottle tops, and water supply pipes. BPA is also found in some thermal paper, including some cash register and ATM receipts, airline tickets, and event and cinema tickets. It's that smooth, shiny paper. Some dental sealants and composites also contain BPA. So BPA can leach into food and drinks from the epoxy resin lining of cans and from consumer products such as polycarbonate tableware, food storage containers, and water bottles. More BPA can leach out of these products when they're heated at high temperatures or frozen. People can ingest BPA via house dust and drinking water. People can also be exposed to BPA from some dental work and by handling thermal paper containing BPA. I recently had my mercury fillings replaced with composite fillings to reduce my exposure to mercury. I asked the dentist about the safety of the composite and was told it was safe. Now I'm going to call the dentist and ask if BPA is in the composite that is now in my mouth. I also wonder about all those receipts I handled in my job decades ago as a cashier at a restaurant. Human exposure to BPA is widespread. A recent Center for Disease Control and Prevention study found detectable levels of BPA in 93% of Americans 6 years and older. BPA is also ubiquitous in the environment. It's found in groundwater, surface water, sediments, soils, plants, and animals. I recently saw it detected in groundwater that is used for a drinking water supply in Washington State. Although BPA degrades relatively quickly, it is a, quote, pseudo-persistent contaminant in the environment because more BPA is continually added. Now, health concerns with BPA were identified as early as the 1930s, when BPA was found to mimic the effects of estrogen in the human body. Since then, evidence of damaging health effects still continues to mount. There have been around 1,000 animal studies on BPA, and the majority show that it causes or is linked to many health problems ranging from alterations in fertility to increased risk for cancers, cardiovascular problems, and impaired brain and reproductive development in fetuses, infants, and children. Recent evidence indicates BPA converts to a chemical that impacts our cells and makes us fat, just what we need in the midst of skyrocketing rates of obesity. A recent study reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association showed that BPA increases the risk of diabetes, heart disease, and abnormal liver function in humans. The federal government is not concerned enough to get BPA out of our lives, so we have to fend for ourselves once again. There are many ways to reduce your exposure to BPA. First, replace kitchen plastic with glass, stainless steel, or porcelain particularly items that contact hot foods and liquids. Replace plastic wrap with parchment paper or glass jars. If you can't avoid plastics altogether, choose plastics that may be safer, including numbers 2, 4, and 5. Numbers 3 and 7 often contain BPA. Don't expose plastics to extreme temperatures, for example, in the freezer, microwave, dishwasher, and coffee makers. Use a mug for your coffee instead of paper cups, which may be lined with BPA. Avoid canned foods, even if they say BPA-free, to avoid both BPA and questionable substitute chemicals such as bisphenol S. Avoid aluminum soda cans, which are often lined with BPA. Touch thermal paper as little as possible and wash your hands immediately after touching it. And forego receipts if you can, when you can. Avoid plastic toys and discuss with your dentist safer options for dental sealants and composites that don't contain BPA. The good news is that BPA is readily eliminated from our bodies, so making these changes can reduce your exposure quickly. You'll note that many of my recommendations involve avoiding all plastics, not just those containing BPA. It turns out that most commercially available plastics release estrogenic chemicals, including those advertised as BPA-free. The BPA substitute bisphenol S that I mentioned can disrupt a cell's normal functioning, which could potentially lead to metabolic disorders such as diabetes and obesity, asthma, birth defects, and cancer. However, BPS was rolled out for use before even testing it for the same kinds of problems that BPA has been shown to cause. Obviously, we need to also take collective action on this problem in addition to individual actions to reduce exposure. We need to fix our broken laws so they protect people and the environment. This should include use of the precautionary principle. The precautionary principle would presume that chemicals are unsafe until they are proven safe. Right now, it's backwards. Chemicals are presumed safe until proven unsafe. So chemicals are produced and released into our lives and the environment willy-nilly in a hope-for-the-best approach. Currently, no federal agency tests the toxicity of new materials before they are allowed on the market, and a lot of damage can be done before safety problems are discovered. We can support protective policies by voting, signing petitions, and donating to environmental organizations working on this issue. After doing the research for this segment, I'm going to step up efforts to get plastic out of my life, starting with replacing more of the plastics in my kitchen.
I agree. I was thinking the same thing, Ellen, thinking of what I do use to store stuff in plastic. And oftentimes I might buy something in plastic and put it in a different form of plastic. So that's something definitely to pay attention to. Maybe for kitchen items, we should check out things like glass or other materials and avoid plastic, especially with consumable goods that will be going into our bodies and the lives of our children and families and friends. Outside of maybe storing paper or other stuff, I don't know what plastic, you know, that might be a better place to store, like nails or something in a garage or something.
Yeah, and there's some tough ones, like, you know, what do you do about plastic bags at the store when you're buying produce and fruits? I suppose you could use paper bags, but that's a real tough one for me. I don't know what to do there. If I think of something, I'll talk about it on a future segment.
Well, I guess that's maybe the good thing about healthy life. Sometimes we get others who maybe specialized in an area who are very good at washing produce. So might want to look into someone who's talked about that in the past. I remember hearing that lemon juice and sea salt makes a good, clean produce washing basin, if you will, for some of these things. So that might be the best way to avoid it in the short term by getting your produce home, washing it immediately, and then storing it in a non-plastic item, or what we have to do. These are things we just need to do to avoid contaminants in addition to all the other stuff.
That's a great idea. And, you know, the best thing is would be if our government did its job and protected us. Then we wouldn't each have to do all these engineering studies and, you know, go to all these lengths to protect ourselves. But that's what we have to do until they get it together there.
Absolutely. Well, we're part of the hopefully drum beating constantly and grassroots and getting the information out so people can look into this stuff. I know the station's been behind GMOs. That's something that's not in the closet anymore. It's certainly an elephant in the room that's being talked about more than it was. So there is hope if we continue fighting the good fight. Ellen Moyer's here every week with tips for a sustainable world on the HealthyLife.net News at 7. And Ellen is also quite busy when she's not with the News at 7. Ellen, where can our listeners find you online at your website?
Okay, my website is ellenmoyerphd.com, and that's spelled ellenmoyerphd.com. And you can get to all my Huffington Post articles there, read about the book I'm working on about how to have fun creating a sustainable world, and see about my speaking activities, and sign up for email updates if you'd like.
All right. And, of course, you can hear Ellen each and every week on the HealthyLife.net News at 7. We look forward to hearing from you next time with tips for a sustainable world, Ellen.
Thank you, Jay. I look forward to being back next week.